This is the Data Privacy Detective, and today we're going to look at Russia and data privacy and protection, and we couldn't have a better person with us than Stanislav Rumyantsev. Stanislav, thank you for joining us.
Hello, and thank you.
And Stanislav, you're at the great IP firm of Russia. Many consider it the top IP firm of Russia. I know I do. The Gorodetsky firm, and I think it's also in Ukraine. Is that right? Do you want to tell us just a word about your firm?
Yes, we are one of the leading Russian law firms in the IP field, and we also have an office in Ukraine, in Kyiv. We have more than 450 people in total, and we're very well known in the field of trademarks, patents, copyrights, and other general intellectual property matters, and also IP litigation. And personally, I'm involved mostly in IT-related matters, and this is a kind of new expertise area for our firm. We are developing in this market, and personally, my expertise area mostly includes DMT and data privacy matters, compliance projects, cooperation with the data protection authorities, cross-border data transfers, and all things like that.
Well, we had a great time getting to know each other in London recently, and so thanks for joining by WhatsApp today. So let's get started, Stanislav. For those who know nothing about Russian data privacy and protection, how does Russia govern those areas today?
Russia is a federal country, so we have federal legislation and legislation of Russian regions, and the personal data matters are governed by the federal legislation. There is a federal law, the Federal Law on Personal Data, adopted several years ago, and this is the main act in the data privacy field.
Now, Europe, for example, if I may, has a very comprehensive, the GDPR that's become so well known. United States, Japan, other countries have taken kind of a sectoral approach where maybe medical records are protected, but consumer stuff is not. How does Russia approach it? Is it a general law you're talking about, or is it more sectoral?
We have a general law. It's not that detailed as the GDPR in Europe, but still this is a general law covering all areas somehow connected with the data processing.
Okay, and just what are the key points? We can't get into pages and pages of the statute and so on, but what are the key points for someone who should become familiar with the Russian approach?
Well, surprisingly or not, but the Russian personal data law sometimes looks like GDPR. Many rules are maybe not similar, but very close, because the Russian law, same as the GDPR, is based on the European Convention for the Protection of Individuals with regard to automatic processing of personal data. Convention number 108, a very famous document. And that's why we have almost the same data processing principles and almost the same approach. And the approach is that all companies and all business entities dealing with personal data must perform three types of security measures. First of all, they must ensure legal protection of personal data. Then they must perform so-called organizational measures in order to secure all their data processing operations. And finally, they must complete an IT security project, including various technical measures with regard to their computer systems.
So it's sort of a standard for cybersecurity that affects people, that sort of thing?
Yes, there are several standards for cybersecurity applicable in Russia. They are different from, let's say, European standards, So we have our national legislation and standards in this field. But mainly, all computer systems, anyhow dealing with personal data, must be protected according to specific levels determined by the Russian government.
Very good. Now, let me ask you, for the businesses that are not Russian businesses, but they may have customers there, or they may have joint ventures with Russian business, or investments in Russia, or they just have a lot of data about Russian residents, what should a non-Russian business know where it might be covered by Russian law and might need to comply? What should they be thinking about?
Well, there are two most common situations here. The first situation is that a non-Russian company, for example, a US company, may wish to open an office in Russia, usually a branch office or a subsidiary. And in this case, the most important concern is cross-border data flows and corporate policies applicable to all business units of the companies. If we are discussing cross-border transfers, then the most important thing here is that from the perspective of the Russian law, there are two types of countries. The first type of countries supports so-called adequate level of data security, and unfortunately, the United States do not support this level of security.
Well, just like Europe, yeah, we're not considered to be equivalent, and Russia would view the U.S. the same way, you're saying.
Yeah, and that's a kind of a problem, because that means that if you want to transfer personal data from Russia, let's say personal data of your Russia-based employees, if you want to transfer this data to the United States, then you must obtain their consent in writing. And there are specific requirements for this written declaration of consent.
And the consent would come from the individuals whose data is being transferred, I assume.
Yes. And sometimes that's a big problem. Maybe that's not that difficult if you have only employees in Russia. But what if you have customers or marketing contacts? Then it can be a problem.
Well, let's tackle that. I'm sure we can all understand if you form a branch or a subsidiary in Russia, then that entity is governed by Russian law. But what if a business doesn't have that, doesn't have a legal presence in Russia, but it has customers, it does things, it may contract to do medical tests, I don't know what, a whole variety of things, but it doesn't have its own entity in Russia. Could it be covered by Russian law anyway?
In most cases, this is e-commerce. So now we are talking about websites.
Right.
Most likely, yes. In many situations, these are online businesses. And here, the key problem is so-called personal data localization requirement. According to this requirement of Russian law, personal data of Russian citizens must be processed with the use of databases located within Russia. That's almost literal translation of Russian law.
Mm-hmm.
Not all data processing operations must be carried out with these databases, but let's say all main operations must be done with the use of these databases. Sometimes that's a big problem, because if our online business would like to create a local data store somewhere in Russia to use a Russian data center, it will mean that that Russian law will apply to this database, and all standards, including security standards, will apply to this database. This will mean additional compliance costs, and that's why that's a complicated thing. Of course, there are some solutions how this thing may be avoided. First of all, online businesses should consider if they really need all this personal data. Maybe they can avoid collection of unnecessary information. And in this case,
the idea of data minimization. So,
yes,
data right, exactly. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yes, and in this case, their operations may be beyond the scope of the definition of personal data.
Okay, but if somebody's online doing commerce with a Russian buyer, let's say, of something, they're going to need payment details, bank account. That would be covered, you're saying?
Yes. In this case, it will be the most reasonable and cost-effective approach is to conclude a contract with a Russia-based data center and delegate all processing operations to this data center. It will be possible to create a database there and configure the website in a way that all personal data of Russian citizens should go to this local database. And after that, the data can be copied from this database to another server for further processing.
Well, that's a fascinating way for Russia then to allow e-commerce to happen across borders, but still to have the protection of Russian residents' data conform to Russian law. Very interesting. Is it working in practice, or have you seen a drawback in businesses that are concerned about the compliance cost you mentioned?
Yes, it works in practice, especially taking into account that there are international companies doing business, international IT companies doing business all over the world, including Russia. And that's why, in many cases, it is possible to conclude a frame agreement with them for various services in different jurisdictions, including this specific service in Russia. It will mean that you don't need to search for a Russian partner. You can use this international company and you can apply your standards, and it will be pretty easy. Another solution is that in many cases it is possible to delegate data processing to somebody else. For example, if you need to create accounts for customers, and all customers must use some login or authentication tools, then it is possible to use Facebook or other social networks for registration and authentication of customers. For payments, it's possible to use third-party payment services. All these things will help to avoid this localization requirement, and that's why they are useful. And one of the most important things, hold on, one of the most important things is to check whether or not your website is covered by Russian law, because Russian law does not apply to all websites which may process Russian data. The approach of the Russian authorities is that, for example, Russian language is an international language. It is used in many countries, not only in Russia. That's why even if your website is translated in Russian, it may happen that this website is beyond the scope of Russian law. That's why there are several criteria proposed by the Russian authorities. And in each particular case, we always check whether or not a website of our client falls under this criteria.
Well, that's excellent advice, and so maybe a good check for someone who's trying to do global business online is to check first and see if Russian law might apply, and maybe give you a call and check that out. And then if so, there are ways, as you say, practically to deal with it without going to extraordinary expense. Stanislav, this has been a wonderful introduction to Russian data privacy. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. There's so much more. Maybe we'll do another one soon. But any last words of advice for the world of business as it affects Russia?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for this opportunity. And my advice is, first of all, don't forget about personal data. My experience shows that many companies don't pay enough attention to these matters at the very beginning of their business. So they can structure business, they create IT solutions, and they do many other expensive things with no regard to the privacy legislation. After that, it could be really difficult and expensive to bring everything in line with the applicable laws. But sooner or later, it will be necessary to do that. That's why don't forget about privacy from the very beginning.
Build it in from the start. Privacy by design, right?
Yes.
Exactly. Well, again, большое спасибо, and look forward to talking to you again soon, Stanislav. До свидания.
Спасибо. До свидания.